Give God another hand clap of praise for the voices of hope. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We do want to thank God for the voices and just how God uses them in such a wonderful way, day in and day out, to God's honor and to God's glory. And while you're doing that, do me a favor. Give God a hand clap of praise for Brother Philip Bryan. Amen. Our director of music ministry. Give God a hand clap of praise for Minister Tim Bailey, our administrator of music ministry. We just thank God for them and this wonderful ministry. Turn with me, 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. 2 Chronicles, 20th chapter, the Old Testament book. 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles 20, when you get it, you just by signify by saying amen. Second Chronicles 20 is a long chapter. I ask that you, I'll be doing a couple of places in it, but I do ask that you would just stick with me, because this story is just such a significant story. Chapter 20, verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Midianites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it, have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. And if you could go with me to verse number 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, and the descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeriel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Then if you would go down just a little bit further, verse 20 says, early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness, as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. Church, say amen. Amen. Brothers and my sisters, I ask that you will join me in a word of prayer as we share on the sermon subject today. I believe God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I believe God. Turn to somebody and say, I believe God. Let us look to the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you and we're grateful. Thank you for your hand, your power, your grace, and your love. Now, God, in Jesus' name, we ask, God, that you would be with us in this moment. Grab a hold of me, God, and use me to your honor, to your glory. Send the preacher, send the Holy Ghost. Save somebody, heal somebody, deliver somebody, set the captive free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I believe God. My brothers and my sisters, anybody here ever had to deal with a battle on multiple fronts? Anybody here ever had problems come your way, challenges come your way, issues come your way, and it just wasn't one thing, but it was multiple things at the same time? Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Anybody here? I mean, see, it's one thing to have to deal with one challenge. Amen, somebody. You can focus on that. You can deal with that. You can wrap your arms around that. You can face that. But anybody here had your challenges connect with each other, had your challenges connect with each other on Instagram and decide they're going to come and face you all together? Anybody had, if it was not one thing, it was another, not another thing, it was another. And it wasn't like they came one after the other, but it all came at the same time. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Anybody ever had to face hard times? Anybody ever felt overwhelmed by what you were going through? Anybody looked at what was coming in your direction and it caused you to feel like you did not necessarily have enough to be able to meet what was coming? Anybody looked and saw what was coming down the pike and it looked like a vast army coming to deal with you and you sitting there trying to figure out? I know you come in church smiling and you talk about you blessed and highly favored, but if I got anybody real enough in here to deal with the fact that all in our lives that we still have problems, we still have issues, and we still have concerns, and while God is a good God, we still have to deal with battles in our life. Anybody had to deal with a battle on your job in which you had people backstabbing you and hating on you instead of celebrating you? Anybody, while you were dealing with a battle on your job, all of a sudden had your family act half crazy and had to deal with a battle in your family? Anybody, while you're doing that, your children acting like their mama and then daddy named Baby, amen, somebody? And they act like they baby kids. Anybody here, young people, had a problem at your school and you got to deal with problems at your school, whether it's bullies or whether it's teachers that can't see the goodness and the greatness in you? Anybody here had to deal with all that stuff and then all of a sudden you get the sniffles or all of a sudden your body starts aching, all of a sudden you get sickness in your body? Anybody here in the middle of that, all of a sudden the devil start to try to mess in your marriage or in your relationship and all of a sudden, anybody know what I'm talking about? That you end up facing thing after thing after thing at the same time? Well, you've come to the right place at the right time. Amen, somebody. Because if you look at the scripture, Jehoshaphat was dealing with that kind of a situation. Jehoshaphat, king over Judah, Jehoshaphat is sitting there and he gets word that his enemies have come together to form an army against him. It's one thing to have one hater, but it's another thing to have three haters that decide they're going to get together against you. Amen. Jehoshaphat had to deal, not just with the Moabites. He didn't have to deal just with the Ammonites. He didn't have to deal just with the Midianites, but he had to deal with all three of them at the same time. It's one thing facing one army coming your way, but when one army decides to lock up with another army, decides to lock up with another army, it seemed like this huge, vast number, and he's trying to figure out how to deal with this. But I've come by to give you a good word in the midst of it all, that at the end of the story, he got the victory. Amen, somebody. And I've come by to tell y'all, I'm sorry to spoil the story for you, sorry to go to the end too quick, but I've come by to let somebody know, I don't care what you're facing, that victory can still be yours. I don't care how bad it looks, that victory can still be yours. I don't care how overwhelming the foe, victory can still be yours. I don't care how rough it feels, victory can still be yours. You just got to make sure to keep on believing. Turn to your neighbor and say, I believe God. I believe God. I don't know what's happening in your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, I believe God for you. I believe God for you. I believe God for you. I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know what your issue is. I don't know what your concerns are, but I believe that God can give you what? The victory. One of the first things you've got to understand, if you're going to understand that God can give you the victory, is you've got to let fear move you, not stop you. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't let it stop you. Don't let it stop you. It's an interesting thing, fear. Interesting thing, fear, because fear often can paralyze us. Fear can often cripple you. Anxiety can often keep you stuck. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? That anxiety and fear can sometimes cause you not to want to deal with the situation. It can cause you to act like nothing is actually happening when everything is falling apart all around you. That anxiety and fear can make you have a problem, and it can be hard just to get up out the bed. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? And sometimes you can wake up and it's just enough for you to just get the covers over your head and get up out the bed because fear and anxiety is gripping you to a point in which you don't want to face the day. But I've come by to tell you that you can't let fear stop you. You've got to let fear move you to where you need to go. Let me help you. When I look at Jehoshaphat, the Bible says that Jehoshaphat, it said that he was concerned. It said that he was alarmed, but he resolved to inquire of the Lord. It said that Jehoshaphat was alarmed. He got this bad news. I like the way the King James say it. It said, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Somebody in here, I've come by to let you know that when fear jumps up on you, when you're looking at an army against you, don't you let the fear keep you stuck, but let it move you to seek God. Jehoshaphat said he feared, but it set himself to seek the Lord. Somebody say, you got to set yourself to seek God. That I don't care what you're dealing with, you got to seek God. I don't care what you're going through, you got to seek God. That because you're going through a challenge, now's not the time to start smoking. Amen, somebody. Because you may smoke and forget the problem while you're smoking. But as soon as you finish smoking, the problem's still there. I know the drink seems good, but as soon as you finish drinking, the problem's still there. I know finding somebody to sleep it away with feels good, but as soon as the feeling's gone, the problem's still there. And sometimes they the problem. Oh, I can't get no help up in here. But you got to set yourself to seek the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, seek the Lord. The Bible says Jehoshaphat got the whole congregation. He got the whole nation to go to God in a period of prayer and fasting. And they came together in prayer. And what blows my mind is I like the way Jehoshaphat prays. I believe you can learn some lessons by the way Jehoshaphat prays. Because many of us, our prayers are nothing but a pity party. Our prayers are nothing but a begging session. Our prayers are nothing but us complaining to God about everything that's going wrong. But if you look at the way Jehoshaphat prayed, that before he asked God for anything, he gave God glory and he gave God praise. The Jehoshaphat, he said, oh Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who's in heaven? He said, God, you rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. That power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Jehoshaphat went on to talk about, you're the one that gave us the promised land. You're the one that put us here, God, and you've been good to us. Somebody here, I've come by to let you know that before you complain about what you got coming against you, you need to give God some praise in the midst of your situation. See, your prayer life should not just be about the business, but it should be about the isness. And too many of us, our prayer is all business and no isness. What do you mean, Reverend? Our prayer is all about what the problem is. But if you got the isness in the prayer, that's the prayer about how good God is and who God is. And if you put the isness before your business, the Lord can make a way. Because when you get your mind on the problem solver, then it can take your mind off the problem. Have I got a witness in the house today? And so I wish somebody in the house today, I know what you came in here with, but can you take a moment in here with me to just give God some glory for God being good? God, you are the maker of the heavens and the earth. God, you put breath in my body. Like the old folks used to say, you woke me up this morning and started me on my way. Put food on my table. Put clothes on my back. When I didn't have much, you made a way. And God, I just want to say thank you. God, I thank you for you've always made a way. God, I thank you that when I was between a rock and a hard place, you made the rock a mattress and the hard place a pillow. God, I thank you. You've been a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer. And before I beg you for anything, I've come by to say what? You gotta let fear move you, not stop you. But the second thing you've got to do, if you got to let your praise move your fear. God, have mercy. Thing that amazes me when I look at this scripture, they look at the scripture and Jehoshaphat, they praise and they pray and they ask God about their situation. And the Bible says, and then a brother by the name of Jehaziel starts to prophesy. He starts to prophesy, and in verse 15, he says, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't be shook. Don't be scared. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, Lord have mercy, but it's God's." He goes on to say, "Tomorrow march down against them, and they will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeriel. You will not have to fight the battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." What gets me is even in this scripture, you see the word of the Lord tells them twice in one word, do not be afraid or discouraged. And I've come by to tell somebody, don't be afraid or discouraged. In the midst of your going through, in the midst of your prayer, God can send you a word to let you know, or to let the fear move to the other side. Amen. Do not be afraid or discouraged. You know what gets me about this word, do not be afraid or discouraged? This phrase, do not be afraid, is used in scriptures in the Bible 365 times. 365 times, God gives the word for folks, do not be afraid. And I've come by to let somebody know that fear is a natural thing, so you don't have to act like you're less of a Christian because you're shook. You don't have to act like you're less of a Christian because you're scared. But I've come by to let you know God has given you a word for it. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid is in the scriptures 365 times. That's one time a day. Lord have mercy. So I don't care what you're facing in your day. Do not be afraid. That you can go in scripture and read a different scripture every day and have the word tell you, do not be afraid. On Monday, do not be afraid. On Tuesday, do not be afraid. On Wednesday, have I got a witness? Do not be afraid. On Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, and back on Sunday, do not be afraid. In January, do not be afraid. In February, in other words, in the spring, do not be afraid. In the summer with your flip-flops on, do not be afraid. In the fall, when you're not wearing no more white, do not be afraid. In the winter, when you got your Tim's on, do not be afraid. That day after day after, and I got a witness in the house today that knows that God says do not be afraid. But what blows my mind is that God don't just tell you to not be afraid, but it said that the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. You see, it's one thing for God to say don't be afraid, but it's another thing for God to say I'm going to fight your battle. Somebody in the house today, you got to understand that as my brother's big brother, when we were younger and he may have a bully picking on him, I would first tell him, don't be afraid. Stand up to every bully. I don't care how many years older than you or they are, but stand up to every bully that you've got to face. But I remember when he was in elementary school, around the second grade, there was a bully in the sixth grade that was much bigger than him. But I told my brother, do not, Lord have mercy, be afraid. But it was not just because I felt he could handle the bully, but because, don't y'all do this, young people, I skipped school the next day because I was going to be with him. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is with you, and the battle is not yours. See, my brother knew he didn't have to be afraid, not because he was big and bad enough, but because I was big and bad enough. If I got anybody in the house today that says, I'm not worried about how big and bad I am, but God said the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. I'll fight your battle. Do not be afraid and don't be discouraged. But a third thing, and I'm about here, is you got to show up with a praise. Turn to your neighbor and say, show up with a praise. What blows my mind about how God dealt with Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel is Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah. What blows my mind is that God told them, I'm going to fight your battle, but you still got to show up. Many of us want a battle won without our presence there. We want God to fight it, but we don't want to show up. We just want to get a telegraph to tell us we got the victory. But I've come by to let you know that's not how it works. You have to have the faith to show up, to believe what God already said. See, the thing about Jehoshaphat is Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah believed what God said. And because they believed what God said, it gave them the courage to show up. Now, what blows my mind about the scripture is God said, I'll fight your battle. And then God told them, and I'm going to tell you where they're going to be. God said, they're going to be at the pass of Ziz. This is the way they're coming. Now, there's no way Jehoshaphat could have known that, but he said, they're going to be at the pass of Ziz. I want you to come out there and watch how I win the battle for you. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I just helped somebody right there. You've been running and ducking from your battle. You've been scared and shook of your battle. And it's been keeping you from showing up to your own victory celebration. But turn to your neighbor and say, show up. But show up with a praise. God tells Jehoshaphat where to go. But I like Jehoshaphat because Jehoshaphat, when he went, most times when you go into battle, you go with a war cry. But Jehoshaphat did not go with his army with a war cry, but Jehoshaphat took his people to the battle, but he took them with a song and a praise, because you got to remember he believed what God said, and because he believed God, he knew he didn't need a war cry, because they wasn't going to have to fight no battle. You see, the war cry is to get you ready to fight, but God already told him, the battle's not yours, it's mine. So instead of giving a war cry, Jehoshaphat put together the praise team. He said, come here, voices of hope. I need y'all to sing a song as we go up into this place, because we're not marching in the battle, but we march into the victory celebration. And so I need us to sing a song, giving God praise. He had them sing this song, give thanks to the Lord for his love, Lord have mercy, endures forever. I like that song because it's a song you can sing as well, because it's a part of the 136 Psalm. The end of 136th Psalm, it says, oh, give praise unto the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. It says, give thanks to the God of God, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his love endures forever. See, sometimes you got to sing a song to yourself to keep yourself in believing that I believe what the Lord said over my life. Is there anybody in here that God spoke a word over your life? If you don't believe it, let me share it. The scripture said, you shall be the lender and not the borrower, the first and not the last. That everywhere you set your foot, you shall be called blessed. You got to believe the word that the Lord said for you. Said you a peculiar people, a chosen generation. If I got somebody in here that believes what the Lord said about you, the Lord said, I never leave you nor forsake you. Is there anybody in here that can believe what the Lord said about you? The scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Is there anybody in here that can believe God for what God said about you? See, I like it in the King James, that Jehoshaphat, right before he asked him to sing, he went and he said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Believe God and watch God work it out. Is there anybody in here who's got the audacity to go back to your job and say, I believe God? Anybody here got the audacity to call a bill collector and say, I believe God? Anybody in here got the audacity to grab your baby by the hand and tell him, I believe God, and you shall be everything that God called you to be? I wish I had somebody in here that would shout, I believe God. I believe God. No matter how it looks, I believe God. No matter how it feels, I believe God. No matter what they say, I believe God to open up the windows of heaven and pour me out blessings. I don't have room enough. I believe God to fight my battle. Somebody shout, I believe God. I believe God when I wake up. I believe God when I go to bed at night. I believe God all through the week.
I believe God.
Somebody give God some glory if you believe God. I believe.
I believe God.
Come on, stand all over the church, all that are able. Come what may, day to day, my Heavenly Father watches over me. I believe God. I believe God can do it. I believe God can work it out. I believe God can open the door. I believe God can fight the battle. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. You're spending too much time fighting people that God already is ready to take care of. Jehoshaphat's wisdom was he had an army of three different nations coming his way. And instead of figuring out his battle plan, he figured out his prayer posture. So he didn't say, I'm going to go try to split them up. I'm going to go try to do this. I'm going to go try to do that. He just went to God and said, God, you said you would take care of us. I'm holding you to your word. I believe God. Bible says that the enemies turned on each other, killed each other. See, sometimes the devil thinks he's being smart by having multiple people get together against you. God knows there's multiple stuff coming against them, but I'll get them two to beat that one, and then them two fight each other over the spoils, and you're just going to sit back as God has confused your enemy and taking care of the battle. I don't care what's going on in your life, believe God. I don't care what you're facing, believe God. I don't care how hard it looks, believe God. I don't care if it's the biggest battle you've ever faced in your life. It's not the biggest battle God's had to face. I believe God. Hashtag that. I believe God. If you're in the house today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ,